Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Brandon, and whether you're in person or online, I'm so glad you've joined us today. You're probably used to hearing me say that on the announcements most weeks, and so if you're sick of this face for 5 minutes, I'm really sorry you have it for 30 today. I'm really excited to be here. This is the first Sunday I get to do this, and I just think it's so cool because long before today, about 20 years ago, was the first time I stepped foot in New Hope. And so many of the people who have invested in me over the years, I now get to work alongside with on staff. And if you aren't familiar with what I do here, I'm the director of young adults and digital services. All that really means is that if you're between 18 and 30 years old, there's a group here for you that meets on Thursdays at 7 upstairs. And we don't have it all figured out. We don't claim to, but we're trying to figure out life and faith together. And so I'm really grateful I have that group to be a part of and honored that I get to lead it. The other half of my job, digital services, if you watch any of our digital offerings, whether that's Sunday mornings on YouTube or Bible study and prayer night, go ahead and click subscribe if you haven't. And that's it. But enough about me and what I do. Today we're continuing our series on the Ten Commandments. A reminder of the first three. The first one is not to have any other gods. The second one, not to make an idol out of anything. And third, don't misuse the Lord's name. Honor it in how you live. So if we look at Exodus 28 through 11, we read, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." So today there's three questions I kind of want to answer for us. What is Sabbath? Why do we Sabbath? And how do we Sabbath? But to get us thinking a little bit more, I'm wondering, are you tired? And I don't mean like your coffee hasn't kicked in yet this morning. I mean, you've been tired for weeks or months on end, just simply longing for a break. Or are you in a constant hurry? At the grocery store, maybe looking for which aisle has the shortest line or which car at the stoplight might move first. Simply no time for interruption. Or are you burned out on religion? Have you been working really hard for God, striving for his attention or approval? If you can identify with any of those, which I believe many of us can, then Matthew 11, 28 through 30 is a great place for us to turn to. We read, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Now here, Jesus is basically saying, if you're feeling run down or that life is hectic, just come be with me, and I'll help you, I'll restore you. I'll give you rest and help you recover your life. And I believe that many of us feel this way and don't want to admit it or don't even realize it. So our first question, what is Sabbath? Maybe you've heard of sabbatical, someone taking this extended period of time away from work. And while it's similar, the Hebrew word for Sabbath is Shabbat, which translates to stop. So if we go back to Exodus 20, 9 through 10, it says, "We have 7 days every week, 6 days to work, and on the seventh, we'll stop." And if we look in Genesis 2, we'll read, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work." And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. Here we see God model a rhythm of work and rest for us. Now, when this was written, Sabbath was this roughly 24-hour period. And if you can imagine, like, clocks hadn't come out yet. They weren't available. So Sabbath was commonly practiced from Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown. And if we think about what the seventh day of the week is, it's Saturday, right? If we look at a calendar, it's seventh day of the week is Saturday. But if you've grown up in church at all, you may be thinking Sunday, you thought Sabbath was on Sunday. But the early church chose Sunday as their day of worship, likely because Christ rose on a Sunday. And over time, it began to be seen as a day of rest. But I find it really interesting how some of our Christian values have made their way into our legal system, our laws. Does anyone remember blue laws? I don't. They were abolished before I was born. But I remember hearing about them from my dad. And basically, if you don't know what a blue law is, and I believe they still exist in some states in some ways, but you couldn't shop at all on a Sunday. You couldn't go to the store. You couldn't go out to lunch. I don't even think you could get gas until 1988 in Virginia. So it's just fascinating to me that we were, like, by law required to rest. But anyway, that's a brief overview of Sabbath. It's a 24-hour period to stop and rest from work. So why do we Sabbath? And to be honest, I really don't think we do, at least very well. The better question is, why should we Sabbath? And as a society, we love to talk about how busy we are, right? And while this is a commandment to obey, it's also an invitation to be restored by God. It's not another task to do or assignment for us to perform at. I see God ultimately inviting us in to draw near to him. So what would it look like for us to rest before we work? I'll share a story. I was catching up with a friend a few weeks ago, and we hadn't seen each other in months, but I recalled him just talking about how frustrated he was with his job. And so I asked him about it, and he really quickly said that it was awful, and that he was tired of working overtime for no recognition, no compensation, not even a thank you, and that he would rather be paid less and have an adequate workload than to continue at this pace, hoping something would change. And I share that story really because I think it embodies just the way our work culture is. It's just been ingrained into our society. And I do not believe God intends for us to operate in this societal standard of endless grinding, hustle, and hurry. There's this book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And I believe that title was inspired by a quote from Christian philosopher Dallas Willard. When asked, "What do I need to do to be spiritually healthy?" he very simply said, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." And that was followed up with, "That's a good one. Now, what else?" And he said, "There is nothing else." Ironically, I listened to the audiobook for The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry on 1.5 speed. So the book was very much written for someone like myself. I have been shaped by the culture around us. But in the book, there's this term mentioned that's growing in popularity referred to as hurry sickness. And I kind of mentioned it earlier with those opening questions. Are you living in this state of tiredness, this constant race even, looking for the short line or which lane's going to move the quickest? Would you describe yourself as hurry sick? To take it even further, before Thomas Edison's electric light was invented in 1879. Most people slept a whopping 10 hours each night. So when society stopped operating around natural light, our sleep habits changed. A 2020 study from the CDC shows that 28.3% of men and 27.2% of women aged 18 or older slept less than 7 hours on average. And if you're between 44 and 64, that percentage is actually slightly higher. I realize talking about society's constant state of hurry and sleep deficiency is a little depressing, but my intention is to emphasize the importance of rest and just how little we do it. But this isn't to say that work isn't important, right? Genesis 2, God intends for us to work. It was 6 days he worked and one he rested. He didn't rest for six and work for one. And I get it. You might be thinking, Brandon, this sounds good, but come look at my schedule. You don't know what I got going on. You don't have kids. You're not married. You don't have the bills I have. Your job isn't as demanding as mine. You just don't know. I don't think this is possible. And while some of those things may be true, I encourage you to see this not as adding something else to your plate, but ask yourself, ask God, maybe what you could take off of it as we respond to that invitation from Jesus in Matthew 11. This story is personal to me because it was about 6 or 7 months ago when I began to discover Sabbath. I've been part of this group of young adults in ministry, and when we first gathered, we began to talk about the value of rest, and it became apparent to me just how much I needed it. For so long, I knew my symptoms but failed to recognize the source. They asked me how God had been getting my attention, and I knew I was tired, irritable, critical of myself and others, truly an overextended version of myself, one who wasn't kind or very patient. It was how I was treating others, viewing them, and viewing myself. The next question they asked is, now, in all that, what is God saying? I was working a lot of the time, and in addition to being full-time here, I was also working a part-time job. And it just became so clear God was saying that something needed to come off my plate. And lastly, they asked, what are you going to do about it? And so I began to have some conversations, first with my boss here, David, who I just simply asked, I expressed the need, and we talked about what day of the week would be best, would make the most sense. And then I invited my roommate at the time in to kind of hold me accountable, to call me out or just simply ask what I was doing if he thought I was working on that day. The truth is, when I finally started to try to practice this day, I just realized how hard it was to stop working. And that might be hard to believe if you don't like your job or you've been dying for a day off, but I was used to working 6 or 7 days a week with no intentional time for rest. I asked the question earlier, have you been striving for God's attention or approval? Now, what Sabbath revealed to me was where I was finding my identity. So much of my personal value was tied to my performance at work and my acceptance or approval from others. Sabbath forced me to acknowledge myself apart from my work. And it may sound a bit dramatic, but I began to ask myself the question of, who am I? Very often when we meet someone, it's so nice to meet you. What do you do? I cannot remember the last time I said, it's so nice to meet you. Who are you? So if we look at Mark 1, 9 through 12, we'll read, one day Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. Now, what we see happen in this passage is Jesus getting baptized and God the Father immediately giving him an identity. He calls Jesus a dearly loved son who brings him joy. And once receiving this identity, Jesus is obedient by going into the wilderness. And just what is profound to me is that it isn't for a few verses later until Jesus begins his ministry. So what that means is that Jesus received his identity before he did any work. We are invited to have this same relationship with God, where we receive a new identity as his children. And I have a simple tool to help us remember this identity principle. So out of the Father's love for us, we are given a new identity as his children. And identity comes from the Father. Our sense of value, security, and confidence comes from outside ourselves, as God tells us that we are his children. And out of that place of identity, we get to live a life of obedience to God. Now, obedience is not a starting place for a relationship with God. Obedience must come out of our identity. It's easy to believe the lie that God's love is earned through our obedience. Just think of all the ways in society we are rewarded for our performance. But Jesus models that if we first accept the unconditional love of the Father and believe that he is already pleased with us, our obedience will be motivated by love and deep gratitude to God. When we know who we are and whose we are, the desire to obey our Heavenly Father will flow naturally. Our desire to please him will come from a place of trust and grace. However, we tend to do this backwards. We try to find our identity through our obedience, as if doing all the things God asks of us will help us to earn his love. But let me remind you, he already loves us. He already loves you. We have so many things trying to claim our identity. There are so many voices trying to tell us who we are. Money, fame, status, a relationship, social media. For me, it was work. And if I can get vulnerable for a second, I'm talking an awful lot about taking a break for a guy who doesn't get it right 100% of the time at work. If you talk to my bosses, they would tell you that I have room for improvement. But when my identity was more so tied to my work, even constructive feedback felt like an attack. I'm constantly having to die to this false identity that says, I am what I produce. I am my work. I often begin my Sabbath with a very simple prayer. Something like, Lord, help me today not to be defined by what I do, but help me to just be with you. And it's simple, yet it's essential that I remind myself that my identity as a child of God is, well, a child of God that he loves. I must start there. And I encourage you all to ask yourself where you're finding your identity. So how is this relevant to Sabbath? Sabbath helps us resist the idol of productivity. It forces us to consider what we allow to define us and invites us to renew our dependence on God. Now, if we're being honest about what we believe about God, I think we'd admit that he didn't need 6 days to create creation. He could have done it in much less time, and he didn't need to rest. But I believe he had an intention behind each day to display a rhythm of work and a time for rest. So how do we Sabbath? And the truth is, there is no cookie-cutter way. Exodus 20 simply says, no one in your household may do any work. And the commandments for many of us might just seem like rules. things we can't do or things we must do. But I've begun to realize the commandments, behind them there's purpose, there's intention, and there's invitation. They exist to protect us, and within them, there's a lot of room for expression and creativity. Sabbath is to be holy, which means to be set apart, that it wouldn't look like the other 6 days of your week. And I don't have it all figured out, but I have some ideas. When I began this journey 6 or 7 months ago, I used Google. I asked some people, but some of the suggestions I got were to go for a walk, to, you know, get some exercise or limit your screen time. And I have a hard time not scrolling. So I bought this cookie jar looking thing with a timer and a lock. And I can set that thing for 8 hours if I don't want it. And I can't touch my phone. But we've also talked about sleep. And one way to ensure rest is by getting a good night of sleep. And another suggestion was taking a nap. Now, you may think taking a nap is for a child, but here's a shocker. Jesus napped. And if you don't believe me, you can look it up in Matthew 8 is one place. But taking a nap, a great way to get some rest. I found that sitting in a quiet place, praying and journaling helps me to slow down, to kind of be present and to make sense of what's swirling around inside me. And if you ever stopped to pray and you didn't know what to say, then welcome to the club. I've found that guided prayers, which are really, you can buy books and they're just pre-written prayers, they've often found the words that I haven't been able to find myself. And so when? The day of the week doesn't matter. We are not bound to Saturday or Sunday. You get to choose what day, as long as you honor the Sabbath. And I originally mentioned that it went from sundown to sundown. When is sundown right around? Dinner time. So what if you began or ended your Sabbath with a meal? Take a second and look who's sitting beside you, left, right, forward, or behind. What if you began your Sabbath by sharing a meal or ending your Sabbath by sharing a meal with them? And maybe you have kids. You're like, oh my gosh, how's that gonna work? Well, it also says that they're not supposed to do any work. So that sounds like, to me, no chores, no homework. Maybe they're bought in now. But wouldn't it be so cool if your family and another got together and spent time together on this day? Think about a Saturday morning, you guys could have breakfast, pancakes, I don't know. Sunday after church, you could go out to lunch. There's just an opportunity for us to do this together, and even more so, I believe God intends for us to do it together. Now, I've talked a lot about physical rest. And while the Sabbath is an invitation for physical rest, it's even more of one for spiritual rest. Sabbath is a time when God wants to remind his children of the identity he's given them. So a good question to ask could be, how am I removing myself from the center of my world on this day and allowing God to resume his place at the center of my life? How am I posturing myself to hear the voice of God speak truth over me? And how am I incorporating scripture reading and prayer? We'll read in Mark 2:27. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of Sabbath. Now, it can be helpful to think about this beforehand or try to plan it out, but if all we end up doing is making a spiritual list of do's and don'ts, then we're missing the point. God intends for this to be a gift for us. Now, it will take some trial and error, and it's going to take time to figure out what's restful and the best way to help you avoid work. But I urge you to just simply begin. Just start. It may feel strange or you may face resistance, but the truth is it's countercultural. It should feel a little resistant. You just need to have a lot of patience and grace with yourself and listen to what brings you rest, not just physically, but rest for your soul. And you don't even need to start with 24 hours. You could start with just a few hours and build from there. Even better, start with the 10-minute car ride, the 30-minute car ride, your shower, doing the dishes. Start with the margin in your day. And I'm convinced the rest you find through Jesus will have you coming back for more. Now, if the how to all of this, the how to Sabbath, still seems unclear, then don't miss this. Author Dan Allender writes, "Sabbath involves responding to the relentless invitation to celebrate the Father's generosity and to dance and sing at our welcome home." All the suggestions I made about physical and spiritual rest are just simply forms of delight. Sabbath is for delighting in God's goodness, expressing our gratitude toward Him, and celebrating our eternal seat at the table. And you still may be thinking, "Brandon, I don't have time for this. How could I possibly take a day off, an entire day off?" But I ask you, what would it look like if you took a step of faith to rebel against the mentality of working without limits? How may be God inviting you into rest and renewed identity? Let's pray. Father, sometimes I choose what I think is best for myself. And I think many of my friends here today do the same. Help us not to ignore the pricks from you on our heart this morning. Let us ask what you want us to do next and trust that you will care for us along the way. In your gracious name, amen.